This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, I'm Sharad Kutan, and with me, Kusu Chuang, with the top business stories of the day. We have the Philippines and China. We also have Microsoft in the clouds and Verizon. So let's start with the news of the four-day visit of Filipino President Rodrigo Duterte to China, apparently part of an attempt to kind of pivot the Philippines away from the U.S., its traditional ally, towards China. And the question, of course, is what are they going to get from this? But China, from China's perspective, at this point in time, it looks like it's going guns with it, saying it's a good thing. It's calling it a milestone in Filipino-China relations.
Well, it's a diplomatic coup, isn't it? Basically, because they've won over the Filipinos, who were allies of the Americans, and of course, the Chinese and the Americans are going at it hammer and tongs, especially in our region. So for them to say, well, you know, he used to be your best friend, now he's my best friend. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like schoolyard politics in a way, but these are very real repercussions.
Yeah. You know, because if you cast your mind back only what 9 months ago, there were rallies in Manila against China. Against their aggression in what they call the West Philippine Sea. And that all has changed as a consequence of the election of Rodrigo Duterte,
politician. Can I just ask you something? Yeah. Since when did governments really do what their people wanted them to do? Did they instead do what they wanted to do and then make it happen in terms of politicking and smoothing ground over with their people?
Well, I think there's nuance to that story. Yes, there is a kind of a disjuncture between people and their governments. But governments also can be compelled to do things. I mean, look at the Philippines and its history of popular revolt. Well, they've changed governments by going to the streets in
Duterte,
the Philippines.
Duterte will tell you that aligning with the Chinese will give you, from this immediate effect, $24.5 billion, about 13.5 in economic agreements, and $9 billion in low interest loans. They'll give you also money for drug rehabilitation programs, which, of course, Duterte, you are killing people in the streets to reduce the crime of. Whereas the Americans are not necessarily. They're using your country for military bases, yes. They're giving you some American corporations with business processes outsourcing, yes. But are they giving you the kind of love and attention you feel you need? No.
Chuang, I believe that according to a poll, and I was watching the BBC World Service yesterday, with a commentator from the Philippines says that, in fact, there is a poll that suggests that a large percentage of Filipinos have very positive feelings about the U.S. and a large number of Filipinos have very very negative feelings about China. They're very suspicious of China's intentions. So can you undo that? How does Duterte get over the fact that there are these historic ties are not just government to government, they're also people to people, and that will continue despite his attempt to, you know, realign or pivot to China.
To which I would then again ask you, Sharad, since when did governments really do what their people wanted them to do? Or did they instead do what they wanted to do
it
happen?
No, governments that are democratic are constrained by public opinion. I mean, and you see this in many countries that are democratic. Public opinion does have an effect.
Well, you're right. And when you look at the numbers and you slice and dice it, you look at the Americans and how much money they pumped into this region. Actually, the numbers are quite big and by some degree bigger than China, because the Americans put about $13.5 billion into the region versus China's 8.3. And the year before that, 2014, it was, in fact, a bigger number, $14.8 billion versus China's $7 billion. So clearly, where the money is concerned, actually, the Americans are putting more money here. But I think maybe it's because it's a shiny new kid on the block with much more money and an open checkbook.
Okay, it might be an open checkbook, but in a way, right? So loans is not free money. China, when they provide loans, are they providing it at interest rates that are comparable to that being provided by other institutions? Is Chinese money that's being loaned out cheap?
Well, only the lordy knows, and only time at all.
Bangladesh, minister came out to say that they are desperate for money, for development.
And they've gone to China.
And they go to China, even if it costs them more. So they're going to China, and it's not necessarily a winning proposition. It's just that they're desperate for the money, right? So it's a curious thing. Chinese money is not free. Chinese money comes with high interest rates.
Well, Chinese money comes with all kinds of luggage, except that you can't really tell, because one of the big criticisms about Chinese checkbook diplomacy is that you don't really know what you're getting. For example, if you look at corporations that have invested in Malaysia, whether with Banda One Malaysia or whether with the power assets, EDRA, do you know who really owns those companies? Do you really know how much money they've got on the balance sheet? Do you really trust what they say on their... If you go to their website, it doesn't tell you anything. Whereas, I guess, with the Americans, you kind of know what you're going to get, you know, warts and all, but you know what you're going to get. You know, if Enron comes to you, you know they're going to come with luggage, but you know what they're going to get. Right?
Okay, so is Duterte chasing a Chinese pie in the sky? Which leads us to the next story, which is about Microsoft. Revenues for Microsoft's cloud computing service rose by 8% to $6.4 billion. The segment is growing fast enough to offset stalling revenue from its Windows product.
Well, this is actually quite a turnaround story, because Microsoft has successfully pivoted away from their over-dependence on the operating system known as Windows. And if you look at it, the street in America has actually rallied, and they've driven shares of Microsoft to its highest ever. Okay, then this is mad, because in the dot-com days, Microsoft had, you know, really made a fist of it. But today, you know, Microsoft shares have never been higher at any point in time in the history. Basically, because Bill Gates has successfully turned the model away into a recurring cloud-based revenue stream.
So, okay, but you also have a picture that needs to be disaggregated. So some things are doing very well, some things are not doing so well. And so we have this this part of the story, which has to do with stalling revenues from other Windows products. How does the company kind of balance that out?
Well, because obviously you've got parts of the, you know, obviously with any business, you know, even BFM, a small business, every business has got different divisions. Some are doing better than others, and others are not. But what the street really wants to see is the direction, the execution of a strategy which you outline in your execution and the terms of the trend line.
So what is it about the cloud? If you could just, you know, I'm no expert in technology.
Okay, so I suppose
is the big push there?
So as opposed to paying a big lump sum for your operating system in the past, you know, 400, 500 ringgit, now you just lease it. And there's all kinds of models whereby you just lease it for a day, parts of the system, Word or Excel or slides or whatever. And it's really working for them.
So technological leaps really are the things that produces a push for revenues. Is that in the tech world, as opposed to kind of tweaking a product?
Yeah, I mean, they've just taken Windows and they put it online and they made it in a cloud-based system where you can slice and dice it, and Azure and Office 365 is exactly what it is. Windows, of course, is flat and gaming is down. I mean, you know, it's a savage game, gaming. But cloud computing, that's where the action is, man.
Okay. U.S. Communications giant Verizon is assessing whether it will need to renegotiate its acquisition of Yahoo after a major data breach. I think the data breach comes from several years ago. This also comes after it's reported that declining revenues and plunging subscriber growth on Thursday.
Okay, lah. So it's the same, you know, mobile business trying to look for new revenue streams. And, of course, Verizon went after Yahoo's digital businesses. And I think they offered $4.5 billion in cash. 4.8 billion dollars in cash, non-Alibaba assets, I think. But of course, the revelation that Yahoo, you know, breached and hacked people's emails or as a part of the system and did not reveal it for quite a long time has given Verizon room, I think, a leeway to renegotiate the acquisition.
We'll have more top business news after this, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.